You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. My latest is looking at the Patriots and their offense without an offense coordinator, play caller there under Bill Belichick as they make the transition from Josh McDaniels. We'll get into the coordinators here a year later in the offseason. We'll break them down for you, ranking the coordinators we trust. We'll do that. Here we're going to check in on the offensive lines for 2022. So pretty much set here with our new and old starting front fives here for all 32 teams. So a lot of usual suspects on this list, but we're going to look at the top 12 offensive lines in the NFL. We're going to count it down from 12 to 1 here. So we'll take four teams in each segment. Perfect show there for you to break it down and tell you what that means for fantasy football, the skill players involved there for these offenses. So good stuff on today's show. We'll get into it right away here. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. All right, coming in at number 12, this might surprise some people, but it's happening here. It's finally happened. I don't want to hear it about Cincinnati anymore. The Bengals now have a top 12 offensive line. Congratulations to the Bengals for upgrading the way they need to for Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon. But here it is. The Bengals have one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. Let's go from left to right. We'll do that with all these teams. You have Jonah Williams, a first-round pick pedigree there. At left tackle, you have Jackson Carman. I've liked this kid for a while. He has played tackle before at Clemson. So now he gets a starting shot here in the lineup over Quinton Spain. So upgrade there with the younger, more athletic body. You have a couple guys picked up in free agency in Ted Karras, formerly of the Patriots. He plugs in at center. They've really struggled in the middle. You have Alex Kappa. He was a very strong swing interior lineman for the Bengals, or the Buccaneers, I should say. Now he's a strong one for the Bengals. So going from B to B with a little orange pewter kind of crossover there for Alex Kappa. He's slated in at right guard. And then this was the move that kind of surprised people. In the end, they're upgrading right tackle with Lael Collins, the former Cowboys. So good work in free agency. They tap into the Patriots, Buccaneers, and Cowboys, three of the better offensive lines in the league. They get a good chunk of new starters here with Carman also coming off the bench to now settle in at left guard. So I love this projected offensive line. You have the three C's with Carman, Kappa, and Collins, and the honorary C with Karras there at C at center. And Jonah Williams, he's now the grand old man of this group in terms of the continuity. He's battled some injuries in the past, couldn't get on the field there as a rookie, but now Jonah Williams, the former Alabama Crimson Tide player, is now anchoring the left side for Joe Burrow. So they really went to work here. The offensive line should be much improved this year. It's going to really benefit Joe Mixon in the running game. Big season for Mixon coming off one in 2021. Burrow's going to feel a lot better protected. On the straight-up side, the blind side, Jonah Williams, still work in progress, but you get help from Carman on the inside. You'll see a good connection there between Burrow and his new snapper, Karras. So pretty good, again, changes here for the Bengals overall. People wanted them to address it for a long time. They put together a combination they particularly like here in Zach Taylor's offense. So they should be very proud of this as being the next move they needed to shore up their team and keep it sturdy as a contender in the AFC, chasing down another Super Bowl appearance. But for fantasy football purposes, this is great for Burrow and Mixon completely. I mean, this is excellent for both of those guys that they're able to upgrade the pass protection and the run blocking. Coming in at number 11, the Washington Commanders. And the Commanders found their left tackle post Trent Williams last year. Charles Leno really held up well at left tackle, the former Bear. They lose Brandon Scherff in free agency to the Jaguars, but what do? They replace him with the former Jaguar and former Panther, Andrew Norwell. So he takes over at left guard here, so change there. So that keeps the strength pretty intact on the inside. You have Chase Roullier, one of the better centers there. Wes Schweitzer at right guard. And Samuel Cosmi, I really like this kid out of Texas. I thought he could have some left tackle potential, but I think he fits better at right tackle in the NFL. You have Leno really coming off a strong season here for the Commanders. So Carson Wentz can't point to this offensive line as being question mark and trying to get the ball downfield to Terry McLaurin and the rookie Jahan Dotson. There's going to be some plays to do that. And we've already seen it's a pretty good run blocking line because they've been able to plug in different guys and have success. Jared Patterson did that behind Antonio Gibson. So now you have J.D. McKissic back as that change of pace receiving back. And the power back, the guy that they're going to pound in between the tackles. This is good for Norwell and Roullier to be kind of the anchors of this. It's Brian Robinson from Alabama. So Commanders also in pretty good shape here overall with their offensive line. I think it's a little bit better for run blocking than it is for pass protection. But Carson Wentz has to realize he has a pretty decent line there protecting him. Doesn't need to improvise, get skittish a little bit. Same thing would happen with the Colts last year and really the Eagles. I mean, that's been the thing. He's taking sacks and he probably doesn't need to with the offensive line strength. So some might think it's actually a downgrade in the offensive line going from the Colts to the Commanders. But keep in mind, the Colts had a left tackle void here. So they're trying to fill that with a young player. So they would have been the 13th team on this list, but the Commanders actually make it at number 11 here for the offensive lines. All right, at number 10, we have the Los Angeles Rams. Yep, even without Andrew Whitworth and his retirement here, you got Joe Noteboom bringing the boom at left tackle. So Joe Noteboom, they really like him. He was a pretty good backup behind Andrew Whitworth and their right tackle, Rob Havenstein. But now he is a full-blown left tackle for them. They love him at that spot with his athleticism. You also have David Edwards in the middle at left guard, at Wisconsin product. So we know there's the pedigree there for good interior blocking. Brian Allen returns at center. He's been there for quite a while now. Bobby Evans, he was a good revelation there to plug in at right guard. And then we mentioned Havenstein. So yeah, they lose Andrew Whitworth, but still pretty good for Matthew Stafford, and right now their backfield is still led by Cam Akers going into 2022. So, yeah, solid offensive line. That's been a foundation for the Rams under Sean McVay pretty early, ever since the Whitworth signing happened there, getting him crossing over from the Bengals and giving them some solid years before he hung it up there and winning a Super Bowl. Getting to and winning a Super Bowl, that was Whitworth's goal. He did with the Rams. He can ride off into the sunset knowing the Rams' offensive line is in great hands and feet with this new group of front five there for 2022. All right, let's go to the 49ers, your other team that was in the NFC Championship game. Now, the 49ers did take a considerable hit this offseason when Laken Tomlinson left in free agency. He went to the Jets. The Jets might be on this list, folks, so stay tuned for that. But this is the number nine team offensive line-wise in the NFL, I think, going into 2022. Why? You have the incomparable Trent Williams still bringing it. The Commanders, again, rebounded well with Leno, but looking at Trent Williams, he's still an absolute stud, mauling people there at left tackle. So they missed Tomlinson, but they are high on Colton McKivitz. He takes over at left guard here, so that's something to watch how he fits in, but he'll be helped by the presence of Trent Williams and your center, Alex Mack, who's still bringing it after years with the Browns and the Falcons. He's pretty solid here in this Kyle Shanahan system. You have Daniel Brunskill, one of those solid swing backups that has turned into a good starter here in the Shanahan zone blocking system at right guard. And you'll get a big asset back. Mike McGlinchey was lost for the season last year, so he's back on the right side to bookend Mike Williams' first-round pedigree. McGlinchey has there out of Notre Dame. So really solid offensive line, but the change there, losing the power and athleticism of Tomlinson, they are going to have a little bit of drop-off there to Colton McKivitz, but the other four guys are pretty solid. McKivitz has enough upside where the 49ers crack the top 10 in offensive lines here in 2022. We still have eight more teams to talk about. We'll go 8-1 in our final two segments here on Locked On Fantasy Football as we rank the top 12 offensive lines, going from 12-1 here on today's show. We have an excitement announcement for you here at Locked On Fantasy Football. We have a great partnership here with a company called Athletic Greens, and they put out a signature product that I like to use every day. It's really helped me with my energy and digestive health. It is AG1. I needed a pick-me-up in the morning, and the signature product does that with just a scoop in my water every morning. It's a shot of energy with great vitamins and great health benefits overall that you can't get anywhere else that you're not going to have from Athletic Greens. So you're going to get everything in one little drink every day. And look, it's awesome. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, you're going to be good to go with AG1. Contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting good. It's going to support your better sleep quality and recovery, mental clarity and alertness all throughout your workday. It's the one thing with the best things. Athletic Greens uses the best of best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing. And you can't beat the price. For less than $3 a day, you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in all-in-one nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens, you can check out all the reviews. There's over 7,000 five-star reviews recommended by professional athletes, trusted by leading health experts such as Tim Ferriss and Michael Gervais. So check it out. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient and daily nutrition. It's just one scoop of water, like I said, every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance, AG1, only from Athletic Greens. All right, we will continue the show here on Locked On Fantasy Football in a moment. I do have to give you a programming reminder. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today, the podcast that covers the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reaction, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts, just like the show, Locked On Fantasy Football. All right, coming in at number 8 in our offensive line rankings as we count our way down to number 1, the New England Patriots. And they're pretty strong with a bullet here. You have Isaiah Wynn still holding up at left tackle, first-round pick. You have Michael Onwenu, who takes over at left guard. They moved on from Ted Karras and Shaq Mason here this offseason. So Michael Onwenu, a pretty good backup. He elevates now to the starting left guard, projected to be. You also have one David Andrews there in the middle making the plays at center. He's been there for a long time, the transition from Tom Brady to Mac Jones. Their rookie, Cole Strange, remember their Strange pick early in the draft? They took him in the first round. He's plugging and playing at right guard. He's going to replace Mason there. And Trent Brown, he was there before playing left and right tackle, came back. He solidified the right spot again opposite Wynn. So the Patriots are pretty solid overall. This is what they do here. That's a good news development here for the running backs, Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. Mac Jones is rather comfortable. You mix in the tight end blocking of Hunter Henry and Jonu Smith. The Patriots are a strong blocking team. I think they're a little bit better in the running game than they are in pass protection. But again, that's kind of the identity of their offense first, to still help Mac Jones. But Jones can be protected, get the play action downfield, playing off that strong running game. The Patriots, however, are not the top offensive line in the AFC East. That belongs to the New York Jets, who are number 7 on this list. Yep, the New York Jets, believe it. Mekhi Becton, if he comes back from injury, picks up where he left off as a rookie, this unit is going to be sitting pretty and really helping Zach Wilson, Brees Hall, all their young weapons there. They also have the two tight end sets they can get support from with CJ Uzama and Tyler Conklin. We talked about all the investments here. Well, Mekhi Becton was a first-round pick. You have Laken Tomlinson coming over to the 49ers. Same scheme here with Mike LaFleur following the Shanahan footsteps. So Tomlinson in a very familiar blocking area to use his athleticism. You have Connor McGovern, a pretty solid center. You have Elijah Vera Tucker, another first-round pick at right guard. And this player is a bit up and down, but he's really good when he's at right tackle. He was a good fill in left tackle last year. George Fant. He was a former Seahawk, and he was kind of their extra offensive tackle. Well, he can play either side. That's proved to be valuable for the Jets. He finished there pretty strong last year on the left side, so goes back to the comfortable right side. They're okay. He's still actually the weakest link of this group. Should Becton be healthy and Barrett Tucker shake off injury? You have Tomlinson just being an absolute stud now as a veteran, well-seasoned with the 49ers here. So this front is outstanding for the Jets. Again, this is going to help their potential for sleeper production there, whether it's Wilson or the running backs, help Wilson push the ball downfield. So a lot of good attributes here for Michael Florin's offense and Robert Saleh. And Joe Douglas should be proud of the way they've rebuilt this offensive line into a strength here. And the Jets come in there at number 7. All right, the number 6 team in offensive line play that we trust here for 2022, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, there are a couple of changes here. We'll get to them in a moment. Donovan Smith is your left tackle. He holds up. We know Tristan Wirfs is their stud right tackle. So those bookends are still standing strong for one more season of Tom Brady. You have Aaron Stinney taking over at left guard. You have Ryan Jensen back on a contract at center to probably close his career with the team. And you have Shaq Mason coming over there. So you have the former Patriot plugging in. You have Alex Kappa, who left for the Bengals. And you also had Ali Marpet leave for retirement. So that was a surprise retirement. Marpet was coming off a pretty big season, so that is going to be a concern. But Stinney has been a pretty good player, and they feel comfortable putting him right next to Smith and Jensen. They also have Shaq Mason, a savvy dude that they picked up from the Patriots. You can plug him in next to Jensen and Wirfs. So still very solid in front of Tom Brady, in front of Leonard Fournette. The Bucs are not going to be a liability at all there. With the personnel losses, they're still going to bring it and be sturdy up front for what they want to do in this offense. Now with Byron Leftwich, without Bruce Arians as the head coach. All right, let's go to our number 5 team. And this team might surprise you, but this is how good the Lions are up front. I thought they might think about offensive line at some point in the draft just for a little bit of depth, but in terms of the starting unit, they didn't really need help. Taylor Decker has come back strong to be angry left tackle. Jonah Jackson, good revelation from Ohio State. He settles in nicely left guard. Frank Ragnow has been there for a while. Haleputi-Puti-Vaitai from the Eagles, he's been solid for them wherever needed at tackle or guard. He settles in at right guard, Vaitai does. And Penei Sewell, first-round pick. Remember the talk about him versus a wide receiver there in Cincinnati. Well, the Lions ended up with him, and he shores up right tackle here for sure. So Decker, Jackson, Ragnow, Vaitai, and Sewell are your Lions offensive line. This is great news for DeAndre Swift. It's also great news for maybe trying to stretch the field a little bit more with DJ Chark and Jameson Williams in the mix for Jared Goff, so protection that he's used to with the Rams. Swift is going to get what he needs up front there. And you also have TJ Hawkinson helping with blocking at times as an extra guy for this offensive line at tight end. So Lions are sitting pretty up front. They're going to really boost the values of everyone in the offensive skill realm for Detroit. All right, we have 4 more teams to talk about that we didn't get to with the top 12 offensive lines of the league. We'll be going 4-1 in our final segment here on this edition of Locked On Fantasy Football. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. We know what's going on big time in hockey and hoops. You have the Stanley Cup playoffs going on. We're almost to the conference championships there. Basketball, not much time left to get in on the conference action there for NBA. So get there, and then we'll have the finals just around the corner. Major League Baseball looking really good here in May as teams and identities a little bit easier to figure out here. And don't forget about the fights that come all throughout the summer, boxing and UFC. Find all the latest odds, news, sports developments, including all that sports action here for you, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use a mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, it is time to close this edition of Locked On Fantasy Football with a look at the top 4 offensive lines in the league. Let's do this. The Chargers are number 4. Yeah, this is great for Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler and company, and a quick rebuild for sure. They invested even a little bit more in their offensive line this offseason. What a pickup Rashawn Slater was, the first round left tackle in 2021. He's been awesome. He was a candidate for Offensive Rookie of the Year. So that's how good he was shoring up things in front of Justin Herbert. You have Matt Filer, the former Steeler. He settled in nicely in this offensive line at left guard. Corey Linsley used to snap to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but now he's found a good second home here with the Chargers. Here, still athletic, still bring it well, line calling, doing all the things he needs to do. So Slater and Lindsley are their strengths. Now you add Zion Johnson from the draft, their first-round pick, so you get some pedigree there. Johnson has some tackle attributes, but he can dominate on the inside, especially playing off Lindsley. So Zion Johnson is your right guard, projected in Los Angeles. Then closing this out, one of the best names in the NFL, Storm Norton. Sounds like a general or just a great name for a comic book alter ego, but Storm Norton is your right tackle bookend there to Rashawn Slater. So love saying Storm Norton. I also love saying that the Chargers have one of the better offensive lines in the league. And now, right now, top four is what I have them as. So Herbert, lock and load, a massive year for Justin Herbert. Eckler can keep it bringing on here. You also have Isaiah Spiller, so that's going to help with their power running game when they pivot a little bit to give Eckler a breather here. Spiller's probably going to be the number two back. We talked about that in our AFC News and Notes out of Joshua Kelly and Larry Roundtree. So that's good news for the running game. Great news for the downfield passing game that Herbert will be well protected to let his arm fly and get those big plays to Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and others in this offense. Coming in at number three is the Cleveland Browns. And the Cleveland Browns had to play most of last year without Jack Conklin. That was a big blow, missing the right tackle. But Jedrick Wills has settled in nicely as their left tackle. Joe Bitonio, perennial pro bowler there at left guard. You have Wyatt Teller at right guard. He's been pretty solid as well. And Conklin rounds things out at the guards and tackles. The new center, as the Browns move on from J.C. Treader, is Nick Harris. Harris was pretty good last year, so they could afford to move on from Treader. Treader's been the longtime leader and line caller of this team, so a little bit of transition there, but the guys around Nick Harris are going to help. That's Willis, Bitonio, Teller, and Conklin. So good news for Deshaun Watson, however many games he plays here for Cleveland. He'll be well protected. It's kind of him getting an upgrade still over what happened in Houston with Laremy Tunsil coming there. It's a much better situation here for Cleveland. And you also have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt benefiting from this offensive line. We'll continue to do so. So they have a chance to get the ball downfield. Watson can also buy time with his legs. Browns solidifying things as the number three offensive line. I think Harris is going to be a star in between those four other established guys in this blocking scheme. All right, the next team is down to two teams from the NFC East. Who's number one? Is it going to be the Cowboys? Is it going to be the Eagles? It's going to be the Eagles because the Cowboys are number two. And now you have the Smith brothers, Smith and Smith. So the new Smith brothers, as Preston and Zadarius have been broken up there on the defensive side for the Packers. And you have the T's Smith. You even can do better and do the T.Y. Smiths here. So Tyron Smith and Tyler Smith, left tackle, left guard. Tyler, the first-round pick there out of Tulsa, they were really high on him. He played tackle there and could make that transition. So another great athlete next to the other Smith. You have Tyler Biadasz, another great Wisconsin blocking product in the middle. Zach Martin keeps plugging along right there. Tyron Smith there at right guard still has a lot left. And Terrence Steele, a bit underrated, but he really emerged. So they felt comfortable saying goodbye to Connor Williams because they thought they could use draft capital to replace him, which they did at guard. And they could also say goodbye to Leo Collins, a tackle guard potential starter here, because they had Terrence Steele. Steele was pretty good filling in last year. So Steele earns the starting job here. So Smith, Steele, and then in between is Biadasz and Martin here. The Cowboys still very good for Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott. This is going to be a good rebound season for the running game. I feel it. I think they're also going to commit to more tight end blocking to help Dalton Schultz here with the rookie Jake Ferguson. So a lot of things to look forward to the Cowboys, but their downfield passing, their running, whatever they want to do is at their disposal here with Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb, and the rest of their offensive skill players to shine. And finally, the last team I'll talk about here is your Eagles, and they're number one. So two teams from the NFC East. Jordan Mailata is number one. at the left tackle spot. Now they are going to move on from Andre Dillard. They didn't pick up his option. So Dillard looked like he was going to be the heir apparent to Jason Peters, but Mailata has really factored in nicely. You have Landon Dickerson. He's helped offset the loss in retirement of Brandon Brooks. You have the longtime center, Travis's brother, Jason Kelce, holding things down there. You have Isaac Simalu. He's played at multiple spots on this offensive line. He settles in most likely at right guard with Mailata and Dickerson and Kelce. And then you have another venerable guy that's been around for a while, Lane Johnson. So Eagles have had some good continuity and stability. They've filled in some holes well. Mailata has been one of the better left tackles in the league. Dickerson was a great draft pick. So the Eagles are pretty intact, good versatile offensive line. This is why they were so good run blocking for whoever was running the ball at the time between Miles Sanders and Boston Scott and Jordan Howard and Kenneth Gainwell. And then Jalen Hurts taking advantage of that, buying time. Having time to stay in the pocket, by the time it was legs, take off and run, get the tough yards there. That definitely wasn't play for the Eagles all the playbook, and it's also going to help that they have A.J. Brown now. Field stretcher there, Diamante Smith should also feel comfortable. Dallas Goedert isn't the greatest blocking tight end, but that's a luxury afforded by having these five guys up front. Here, the Eagles will get a little bit better in that area, but allows Goedert, Smith, and Brown to run free. And again, whoever can run the ball, that's been the issue. It's not... Can the Eagles run the ball? We know they can run at a high level. They're one of the better rushing teams in the NFL when you include Hurts' is production. But it's more about who will do it more consistently. And that's why I think they feel comfortable with that committee approach between Miles Sanders and Gainwell and Boston Scott going into this year. So a lot of things to watch for the Eagles, but their offensive line is a major asset here for anything they'd like to accomplish up front. So there you have it. Going through the list again, Bengals, Commanders, Rams, 49ers, 10, 11, 10-9, then going 8-7-6-5, the Patriots, Jets, Buccaneers, Lions, 4-3-2-1, Chargers, Browns, Cowboys, Eagles here. So keep that in mind if you're making some tough calls between some skill players, quarterbacks or not, to know that their offensive line is on their side here to help. And again, you may want to avoid the worst offensive lines in the league. And we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. So we'll break down the teams that are works in progress or have liabilities up front. We'll do that there to companion this show as we looked at the best offensive lines in the league. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. Now make your second listen to Locked On NFL Podcast. Our national NFL experts and insiders keep fans dialed in with the biggest stories and the latest news from around the league, because an offseason doesn't equal a break in the action. Follow Locked On NFL every day on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. You can find Locked On Fantasy Football and me, Vinny Iyer, on those platforms as well as check out my work at sportingnews.com, where I write a lot about NFL and fantasy football. So check it out there at sportingnews.com. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we will check you out there with the look at the worst offensive lines on the next show.